Welcome to another edition of our Thursday night class. Tonight we're studying Parashat Va'era, the parasha of the Makot. We know that there was 10 Makot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Egyptians. We know they're divided into two parashiyot. Parashat Va'era has 7, Parashat Bo has 3. The remez is Bo, Bet Aleph equals 3. Va'era, the first two letters, Vav Aleph, is 7. So therefore we see in the names of the parashiyot already there's an allusion of the division. I will not discuss tonight why the Torah split them in 7 and 3. Of course, there is very, very deep reasons for that. We'll leave it for another time. One of our members asked me if I can elaborate a little at this point on something that's in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda haya notem bahem simanim. So Rabbi Yehuda, when it came to the 10 plagues, Dam, Sefardai, Akinim, etc., Rabbi Yehuda made simanim for the Makot. And he made basically an acronym, and he referred to the Makot as Datzach, Adash, Be'ahav. And we read it actually in the Haggadah, Rabbi Yehuda haya notem bahem simanim, as if it's a big chidush. Although, at first glance, you know, what did he do? He took the first letter of each Makkah and he made a Rashi Tevot. It's like somebody comes along and says, Rabbi Eli Mansour, Ani noten bo siman, R-E-M. So, oh, big hadosh. What did you do? You took the first letter, Rabbi Eli Mansour, and you put my middle name also, Rabbi E.J. What's the chokhmah to take the first letter? So, there's different explanations that are said to it. I recently saw one explanation that says, you know, the tzaddikim, they don't like to say negative words. They don't like to say makot. Makot is already is lashon shlili. It's a negative language. So the Yehuda was very careful in his lashon. So, that's a chadash ba'ahav, not to say the names of the makot. Another explanation I heard was that he was actually wishing the makot on the goyim. So he didn't want to say it explicitly because he didn't want to get into trouble. So they read it like this, Rabbi Yehuda haya noten bahim, which means haya noten by the goyim. He put the makot on the goyim, haya noten bahim simanim. But because haya noten bahim, he didn't want to say it. So he said, that's a chadash ba'ahav. But he meant that, you know, all the makot should go they go on them. Okay, that's fine. But tonight I'd like to explain it. And this is Yesodot we're going back to. I like to explain it based on the Gaon Malbim. The Gaon Malbim in his Perush in the Torah, in this week's Parasha, I have it here. It's in beginning of the Parasha, I think Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Over here the Malbim gives a whole analysis to the structure of the Makot. And he comes along and he gives us a foundation that says, what was the purpose of the Makot? Why give Makot Bechlal? Borei Olam should just say, we're leaving and split the sea and the end. He says, the purpose of the Makot are a school. It's schooling. It's a lesson. It's education. Who are we educating? So the simple explanation is to educate Paro. Paro is the one that starts off his career by saying, Mi Hashem, Lo Yadati Et Hashem, I don't know who God is, I never heard of him. He was an atheist, he was a kofed. Not only is he a kofed, he's worse than a kofed. He worships himself and he believes that the Nile River is also an Avodah Zarah. That's part of the Egyptian culture. So before we leave Egypt, Borei Olam wants to give an education to Paro on 3 levels. The levels that he has to come to agree to, and to be honest with you, as I'll say in a moment, the lesson is really not to Paro. The lesson is for us. Paro, we don't care if he remains an atheist, we don't care if he remains a non-believer, but the Makot were really to teach Bnei Yisrael, but it had to go through Paro. And I'll explain to you why in a minute. The Malbim says, God has to teach Paro, Ani Hashem. You're the guy that said, Lo Yadati Et Hashem. After Jews living in Egypt for so many years, they get that corrupt ideology. No different than the Jews living in America. They go to college and they think that the world was created by evolution, or the world was created by a Big Bang, or the world was created by, 400 million years ago by itself. So you live in the country, osmosis, it corrupts you. So Borei Olam wanted to give a lesson to the Jewish people. Number one, Ani Hashem. There's a God. And he says the first three makot were to prove that. That means after the three makot, you get a diploma. I now believe that there is Hashem. There's a power, there's a deity called God. The second set of plagues, says the Malbim, was not to teach you any Hashem, that we learned in the first set. The second set is to teach you that I am God that is Mashkiach, which means you can believe that there's a God, but that does not necessarily mean that you believe He's on the earth watching everything that's going on. So the second set of plagues is Ani Hashem Bekerev Aretz, the I am God in the midst of the earth. Once the second set of the plagues, the second three pass, you get your diploma. I now believe that God is Matsui Umashkiyah. And we'll see how. I'm just giving it to you quickly. And then you have the final set of plagues. That is to teach me, not that Ani Hashem, that I got in the first three, and not that Ani Hashem Bekerev Aretz, that I got in the second three, but She'en Kamoni Bechol Aretz, that there's nobody like me in the Aretz. Because you could come along and say, okay, there's a God that's Bekerev Aretz, maybe there's somebody else also. You could have two or three, God forbid. No, En Kamoni. There's nobody like me, which is the Yehud Hashem. There's the only one. En Kamoni, there's nobody like God. So basically, the Makot are a school for the Jewish people to have Ikare Emuna. The question, of course, you'll ask is, so why does it have to go through Paro? So the Magid Beduvna gives a mashal. Mashal, that one time there was a baby, and the baby came down with a sickness. So the mother took the baby to the doctor. The doctor says, the only way to cure this baby is they need a medicine. But the medicine is very, very bitter, and you will not be able to give it to the baby orally. How does the baby eat? She has a nurse. Oh, beautiful. Tell the nurse to eat the medicine, and the medicine will go in the milk of the nurse and sweeten it. So when the baby has the milk will be with the medicine. So the mother comes home with this bitter medicine and tells the nurse, you have to take this bitter medicine. So what did I do? You hired me to nurse the child. Now to take a bitter medicine? I didn't sign up for this. So she goes back to the doctor. The doctor says, bring the nurse. The doctor says, there's only one way the child could have got sick, from you, because it's only eating from you. So therefore, the one that got the child sick is the one that has to take the medicine to get the child. But the medicine must go through you. Says God to Paro. The Jewish people, when they came out to Mitzrayim, they were ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. They had no questions. 200 years in Egypt, they started to have sifikot and emunah. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. So God says, I have to cure them, but you're the one that got them sick. So the makot have to go through you in order to cure B'nai Yisrael. The makot have to be sweetened through Paro, so the Jewish people will get the lesson of Ani Hashem Bekerev Aretz, En Kamoni Bechol Aretz. Now if you go to the makot, you'll start to see, I don't like to call it a science, but a certain methodology. You see a certain pattern, and the pattern follows itself all the way through. Let's see the pattern again. This is the pattern that the Malbim points out. Let's go start with Makat Dam. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Ted Vav. Pasuk Ted Vav, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kabed Lev Paro, Me'en Shalaya. Okay, he doesn't want to send the people. Lech El Paro, Baboker. Look at the first Makat Dam. Go to Paro in the morning. What's the morning? First minyan. Ve'ine yotze amayma. He's by the water. Ve'netzavta l'klato asefat tayor. The first makah is delivered by the water. Says the Malbim, specifically the first makah of each one of the sets, of the first group, of the second group, and of the third group, the first of each of those plagues is always going to be given by the water. Why? Because since they're coming to prove Ikare Emunah, and the Egyptians believed that the Yeor is the God, So God says, no, we're going to prove that who the God is, and therefore go to him in the morning when he's standing by his water praying and doing whatever he's doing over there. We're going to prove it in their church, which means in their house of worship, we're going to come along and show them the shaker of it. Therefore, go to the Eor. And what does God say to tell them? He says, Ko amar Hashem, bezot teda. The purpose of the Makkah is to be a teda. I'm not punishing. The purpose of the Makkah is teda. It's an education. Teda means you should know. Now what? Ki ani Hashem. This is to prove that there's a God, ani Hashem. Okay, Paro doesn't listen. The plague comes. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, I warned you. Which means if Paro would have said, okay, don't bring it. He didn't listen. He got warned. Borei Olam says to Paro, to Moshe, listen. When you warn a person, you have to warn him twice. The Torah says, Al pi shnei edim yakum davar. Before, when you want to prove something, according to the Torah, you have to prove it twice. So Paro could say, well, you only proved it once. So therefore, what does he tell him? After the plague was over, the next plague, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, bo el Paro. The second warning is not by the water anymore. The second warning is by the palace. Bo el Paro. Go to his palace. You're following the order? The water? And then to the palace, which means now go to the palace in his home over there. The Malbim comes along and says, let's see over here. Yes, he says, Veloya Baboker. When he went to visit him in the palace, it wasn't in the Boker. Rak Bahatzot Hayom, the middle of the day. Why? She yashab bepaltin shelo vechol sarav b'hachamav lefanav. Where he had all his hachamim and all the hartumim and all the geniuses with him. Lema'an yitparsem ha'atra'a lechol ammo. The first time God says, just tell Paro, maybe he'll listen. Go meet him by the water, by the Avodah Zarah, and tell him, listen, this shtuyot, this Avodah Zarah, this water over here that you're worshipping, the Nile, and the Hashem. He doesn't bite, boil Paro. Now go to midday in the middle of a cabinet meeting and make the second warning. Now when there's a second warning, it's going to be in the newspapers. What happens? The second plague comes, the frogs, they're all over the place. Paro doesn't listen. Look at the third plague. Listen, now the Torah introduces the third plague. Where does Moshe meet Paro in the third plague? Does he meet him by the river? Or does he meet him in the palace? Or does he meet him in the cafe? Where does he meet him in the third plague? Where does he meet him? Palace. It's a good guess. 50-50. The Pasuk says, I'm introducing the third plague. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el Aharon, go to Aharon, nete et matecha, vehach et afar ha'ares. Doesn't meet him anywhere. The third plague, there's no warning. The third plague is, I warned you twice, you had two witnesses. The third one, there's no warning. The third one, we go do it. We hit him on the head. That means, I told you twice, ani Hashem. You're stubborn, that is going to be an onish. So now, that's the Malbim's theory. Now let's see if it works throughout. That means, plague one, by the water. Plague two, midday, in the cabinet meeting. Plague three, no warning at all. Now let's go to 4, 5, and 6 to see if it follows the same methodology. Now if it does, we're onto something. If it doesn't, okay, then we're not onto something. Now, what's the fourth plague? Arov. What was Arov again? The wild animals. You forget from Yeti. The wild animals. I'm reading. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashkem baboker. Hashkem baboker. V'tiyasem lefne Paro. Go stand in front of Paro. Hinei yotze ha-maima. He's by the water. Back to the water. Because now he said, listen, I told you ani Hashem. Now we're going to start again. High school now. Now you graduated elementary school. Now I'm going to teach you another lesson. What's the lesson? Ko amar Hashem. So says God. Shalach ami. Ki imenecha mishalayach. you don't send, I'm going to bring Arov. And he comes along and says, Lema'an teda. Again, there's a lesson here. What's the lesson? Ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. Not anymore ki ani Hashem. Ki ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. Which means, I'm going to bring a plague of wild animals. They're only going to attack the Egyptians. They're not going to attack the Jews. Statistically, that's impossible. Once you start to see that there's haflaya, once you start to see that there is differentiation, that only one group is getting attacked and the other has no casualties, that must show that the hashkaha is on earth. Because you cannot say that a coincidence can happen 6,000 times. Once you start seeing a pattern, that shows you that God must be guiding the goings-on on earth. Yeah, but not explicitly like this. All you saw is all the water turned into blood. You didn't see it explicitly like this. The water turned into blood. That just shows you, Ani Hashem, I control. I know all the Midrashim that you're talking to. I'm answering you, Ani. It was not explicit like this. There, the Makkah was it turned into blood. Now you're telling me what happened. So they got water from them, but that was a Totsa'ah. The Makkah was, it turned into, here the Makkah itself was, they're going to get Arov, and they're not. That was the way the Makkah was sold. It was sold as Vesamti Fedut. They're getting it, and you're not getting it. It was not sold, Dam was not sold like that. You're going to have Dam, and you're getting Mayim. Although that might have been a Totsa'ah, this was to teach a different lesson here. Here is to teach Vesamti Fedut. There's going to be a separation. Beautiful. Now let's go to the fifth Makkah. Now if the Malbim is correct, where's the fifth Makkah going to be given? In the palace. Beautiful. Let's go to the fifth Makkah. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el paro. Beautiful. Bo el paro. No morning, no water. Go to the palace. Midday in council. And what's the fifth Makkah? Deber. Deber is what we call pestilence. All the animals are going to die. Beautiful. Now the sixth Makkah is going to be what? Boils. And I asked you the same question I asked you again. Is the warning going to be in the water or at the palace? Or in the cafe? Huh? Hazak Baruch. Now we get to Shechin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe vel Aharon, kechu lachem meloch ofnechem piach hakevshan, take the ashes and throw it up. No warning. Just do it. I give you two witnesses. I showed you Ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. Only Egyptian animals died in the pestilence, and no Jewish animals died. I said, this is impossible. Ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. You didn't learn the lesson twice? I don't have to warn you the third time. Therefore, the third time happens by itself. Now already it happened twice. Now let's go to the last groupings, which means the plagues 7, 8, and 9. Which is 7 is... What is it for? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now we're going 7, 8, 9. 7 is what? Barad? No. Barad. Okay, Barad. Beautiful. I'm with you. Okay, now where does the warning of Barad have to happen if we're right? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashkem baboker. There you go. Get up in the west part on the morning. By the water. V'tyasev lefnei paro. Only paro. Because Paro's by the water. And go tell him, Shalach Ami. Now what's the third set trying to prove? Ani Hashem already we proved in the first set. Ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz we proved in the second set. Why only the Egyptians getting boils and the Jews are not getting boils? If there's a plague of boils, everybody's got to get it. The fact is Hashem is separating between us and them. Ani Hashem bekerev. Barad, the pasuk says, Leba'avur teda. What's the teda of this? Ki en kamoni bechol ha'aretz. Ki en kamoni. That there's nobody like HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechol. Which is a different level of emunah. Third lesson. Now, what's after Barad? Arbe. Where's Arbe going to be? Well, it's the next week's parasha. But we know how next week's parasha starts. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo'el paro. Beautiful, go to the palace. Midday, in the middle of a conference, and go tell them Arbe. If we're right, how is Makat Choshek supposed to happen? V'azako Baruch, I read the Paka. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe, nete et yadecha al ha-shamayim v'yichoshech. No warning to Paro. So therefore you see over here, says Malbim, Rabbi Yehuda was telling us a big chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda yanotem mem simanim. If I were to ask you before this introduction, how many plagues were there? You say 10. And then I would tell you, how many categories? You would say, no, one category, 10 plagues. We didn't know until we read this Malbim that the Makot were actually in three categories and they followed a pattern. Water, palace, no warning. Water, palace, no warning. Water, palace, no warning. So Rabbi Yehuda yanotem bem simanim. And what does he do? He breaks it up into three groups. There's the Datsach, Dam Sefardekin, that's one group, Ani Hashem. Dam Sefardeya and Kinim is the third. The third one, there's no warning, it happens by itself. Second group, Adash. Arof Deber, warning, Shechin, nothing. Second group, that's Ani Hashem. Bekerev Aris. Be'ahav, put my cup back on the side. Be'ahav, the last three, that's Ken Kamoni. And therefore, the Rebbe Yehuda, a tremendous hadush. He's giving me the science of the makot, of how to understand them, that there was a logic behind it. Now, it goes even further. The simanim of Rabbi Yehuda. It comes out. I mean, just if we want to make it like a graph, you know, if we want to make a graph of this. Of this equation. The first of each group have something in common. The second in each group have something in common. And the third in each group have something in common. Understand what I mean? Dam, Arov, and Barad. They're the first of each group. What do they have in common? They were all coming to teach a lesson. And they were all given by the water. The second of each group also has a commonality. Sefardaya, very good. Deber and Arbeh, all was done palace midday to publicize the warning. And then the last three, this is what I want to tell you now, from the Balad Okeya. Kinim, Dasach, Adashehin, and Hoshech. Before this class, if I were to tell you, what do those three plagues have in common? You say nothing. Rabbi, I have the answer. They have nothing in common. And now the answer is they have absolutely everything in common. Those are the only three plagues that happen without a forewarning to Paro. Kinim, Shechin, and Hoshech. Now, if you have a paper, you have paper, for Moshe has a paper, whoever has paper, hard to do this in your head. I did it in my paper as well. Let's write the names of the plagues on the piece of paper. Let's go from the last plague of the last group. The last plague is Hoshech. So please write on your paper across three letters. Okay, Rabbi Drummond as well. Hoshech, write it. Het, Shin, Chaf. Just write it across. Het, Shin, Chaf on your paper. Underneath that, write Shechin. Shin, Het Nun. Shin Het Nun. Shin. Under that, write Kinim. Chaf Nun Mem. So you see vertically, you have three Makot. You have Choshech. You have Shechin. And you have Kinim. Now read it horizontally. You don't fall out of your chair. But that's I fell out of my chair when I saw that. Which is when you read it vertically, Hoshech, Shein, Kinim. That means these three are Azagabaru. They're intertwined. Which means no coincidence when you write these three makot in a horizontal. Now this is not Sudoku, Elliot. This is over here. This is over here in Inyan over here of the Chokhmah of the Torah. For some reason, it interlinks these three makot because they have a commonality. Now, I wouldn't know where the commonality is. But by the way, once you know this secret, it answers another question. You know, we started to give a Tehillim class. I don't know if our members know it. Once a week. Right, 10:30 or 10:15 on Wednesdays on the Zoom and on the iTorah, we started giving Tehillim. I think we did about 30 chapters, Baruch Hashem. Every week we do another chapter, and it's very, very eye-opening. Now, I know we didn't get to this chapter yet, but I'm going to have to read it to you tonight because it's Nogea to the shoot. It's chapter 78. What's so significant about chapter 78 in the Tehillim? There, David reviews the Makot. Now, Mamash Hafuch, the upside down. Olam Hafuch Ra'iti. Look at this over here. I mean, you're going to read it and you're going to... Yeah, let's read over here. Asher Sam b'Mitzrayim Ototav. God brought Otot in Mitzrayim u'mofetav b'ste so'an. So this Otot u'mofetim. By the way, anybody know the difference between Otot and Mofetim? The Malbim says beautiful. The warning shots are called Otot. The third one that comes without a warning is called Mofet. Ot is a sign, a witness. I'm giving you two witnesses. Ot, Oti. There's Otot. The first two are Otot. The third one, Mofet. So when it says Otot to Mofetim, now you know what the two... Mofet is like a wonder, a miracle. But it's a Mofet of a punishment. Because you didn't listen to the first two. So therefore, what that means a mofet on them, a miraculous, supernatural makah as a punishment, as a bizayon, as lashon malbi. Good. Now let's start. Vayehafoch ledam yorehem, beauty, dam. So far, so good. Yishalach b'hem arov. Whoa. Okay, you jump from dam to arov. Usfardeya v'tashchitem. Listen, David HaMelech, his order is Dam Arov Sefardaya. It gets worse. Vayiten lehasil yibulam v'yigiam le'arbe. Then he jumps to locust. Yeharog b'barad gafnam. Then he goes to Barad. Vayaskel le'barad b'inam u'miknehem l'rashafim. Yishalach b'mcharon apo evra v'zam v'sara. That's Deber, v'chayatam la Deber esgir, v'yach kol bechor. Abotai, not only not in order, jumping, but he doesn't even write all ten. He doesn't even write all ten. So, it's not the time tonight to explain the science of what David HaMelech was doing. Anybody interested, the Malbim says an unbelievable explanation. There is a logic and rationale to this order, which makes a lot of sense. But I just want to point out to you, what makot are missing? Dam, he says, Sefardeya, he says, Kinim is not here. He skips Kinim. So you just have Dam and Sefardaya. Kinim is missing. Arov you have. Deber you have. Shechin is not here. Barad he has. Arov he has. Yes. Yes. Umiknehem nar shafim. Yishalach b'hem haron apo avrav zav esam mishlach malachi ra'im. Mishlachat malachi ra'im. You don't have hoshech. Hoshech is missing. Says the Malbim, you have seven. Seven out of the ten. The three that are missing are the ones that there was no warning. David only is discussing the otot. He leaves out the mofetim because he only wants to discuss the primary ones that came to teach him a lesson. So at least we know why the three are missing, because those are three are different categories. It doesn't bother me that those three are missing. Already we have an understanding. Now it doesn't explain the order, but now I understand something else. You know why the Biyuda to give simanim? Because now we have a contradiction between the order of the Torah and the order in the Tehillim. So the Biyuda to give simanim in order to tell me the order of the Torah is the Ikar and not the order of the Tehillim. Because you might have thought, we have a general rule that says, "En mukdamu meuhar b'Torah." Maybe the Torah did not write it in the proper order, and the proper order really is in the book of Tehillim. So Rabbi Yehuda actually was coming to say, not Rashi Tevot, he was coming to say, the order of the Makot is, Datzak Hadash Be'ahav. What about Tehillim? Ayin Debalbim. All right, I'll tell you the Malbim. I cannot. Because it's too beautiful, the Malbim. He comes along and he figures out something else. You see, we don't spend enough time to study the... we just study that's really good. There's an analysis here in Pisukim. Did you ever pay attention that three of the Makot are actually doubles? Three Makot actually happened twice in similar fashion. I'll give you an example. What was Arov? Wild animals. What was Sephardiah? Well, Sephardiah was part of Arov. I mean, in Arov there was Sephardiah. So basically Sephardiah was covered. I mean, you have Sephardiah and Arov. Barad and Arbe. That's also a double. What was the purpose of Barad? It broke all the trees. It broke all the produce in the field. What did Arbe do? The same thing. Whatever the Barad didn't consume, Arbe consumed. So that's also a double plague. What other plagues do you have over here? You have the plagues of... I guess it's Debir. Debir is pestilence. Pestilence killed the animals. And Barad also killed the animals. Right? Barad came down and smashed the animals. So basically, you didn't need six plagues. You could have got away with three. The Malbim's theory is, if God was just interested in destroying and getting rid of the land, then three would have been enough. The fact that you have repetitive makot shows me that there was another purpose. To teach them a lesson. A lesson of Ani Hashem, Kedem Ha'aretz, En Kamoni. If it was just destruction, you didn't need. So David HaMelech points out this double plague. And how does he say? I read. Vayafuch ledam. Okay, dam is alone. Dam is no, there's no plague like dam. Dam stands alone. Yishalach b'em arov. That even though he sent Arov, which was wild animals, but he still sent Sephardiah. So that shows you that the plagues were not just for destructive purposes, they were for instructional purposes. He brought Arbe, but even though he brought Arbe, Yaharot Barad Gafnam, he also brought Barad. Even though it could have been done and knocked off by the Barad, but by the Arbe. But I'm nonetheless sent the... See how he's learning it? He brought Barad. Even though you didn't need to bring Deber. The Barad did what the Deber did. What's the explanation? Borei Olam brought doubles, not because he wanted to necessarily get rid of the land. He could have done that with the first one. But he did it in order to teach them. So therefore, the David HaMelech was not coming to give you the order. He was showing you the three makot that have duality. Evantim? Good. Beautiful. Now we put this on the side. Now, Rabotei, you got this introduction. Now we can start what I really came to tell you tonight. No, this is just a nice introduction. Don't get me wrong. For some shiurim, that would be the whole shiurim. But for us, this is just to open up to whet the appetite to get to the main course. What I came to discuss tonight. Oh, by the way, just out of respect, I must tell you the opinion of the Rambam. I made a copy of it, and I cannot go through the class without telling you the Rambam. The Rambam is an Al Parasha. He explains why. Kinim Shechin and Hoshech did not get a warning. We explained according to the Malbim, it's strike three. We warned you two. The third one of each set doesn't get a warning. I sent you two otot. Once you get two otot, the mofet comes without a warning. That's shot in the Malbim. But listen to Ramban, just for the record. Beautiful Ramban. He says, Perichet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Aval, lo hitra, ki en HaKadosh Baruch Hu matre befaro, rak bemakot asher bahem mita le'adam. Interesting. The warning only comes to plagues that are fatal. Only plagues that will kill. Plagues that do not have death penalty to man, you don't need a warning for that. And he goes and explains how each one of them, damn, fatal. They can't drink water. They're going to die. People died from that. We read in Zohar this week, Sefardeya, the children died from the noise. You can imagine how noisy it was. You know, sometimes when you're sleeping, like some guy's alarm goes off. So, hey, what are you doing? You can't sleep the whole night. Imagine frogs making for 7 days straight. They died from the pollution. From the smell, it says also. Kinim, nobody died from kinim. Kinim wasn't fatal. So therefore you don't need Arov, wild animals killed the people. Debit also was pestilence. There was death. Shein, boils, pimples, acne. Nobody dies from acne. So therefore, no warning. Then you have Barad. Barad came and killed the people. Landed on was missiles, guided missiles. And then you had what after Barad? Arbeh. The Arbeh ate all the food. They had no food. They died. Hoshech, blackout. Nobody died. So therefore, that's the Ramban's theory why the third of each section did not get a Ayin Sham. Now, I must tell you also, just so you have it for your knowledge, there's a Maharal. Very, very important Maharal. He also understands Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda was dividing it into three like the Malbim, but he has it a little different. He says, when Borei Olam wants to show you his control, he teaches it in steps. Tachtiyim, Shiniyim, and Shlishim, which means start from the bottom floor, then you go to the middle floor, then you go to the top floor. So Maharal says, God wants to show that he has mastery and dominance over all the floors of creation. Now, where does he start? Ground level. What's ground level? Water and earth. That's the lowest level. Dam sefardei kinim olawat. Water, earth, ground level. The next three makot is things that are above the ground. What's above the ground? Arov is the animals. Deber is above the ground. And the Shechin is the human, which is above the ground. So they were Borei Olam moving up. Datzach, ground one. Adash, above the ground. And then Be'ahav is in the Shamayim. The Barad already came from the heavens. Arbe, where'd they come from? They went in the sky. They were jumping up. They covered the Enaharis. They covered the sun. And Hoshech is in the sky. So therefore, that's Maharal's Pshat. Datzach, Adash, Be'ahav is a gradual flow of earth. On earth, above earth. Imagine? Please do. Bechorot Hani is in a separate section, which we'll discuss now. In this theory, they break up the first nine. Makam Bechorot is its own Torah. Because that was the fatal blow. Right, that was the fatal blow. That has its own Torah, Makam Bechorot. But your point is well taken. Now I'm going to bring you what is brought down by the Tzror Amor, which is obviously is the book of the year. Tzror Amor is in our parasha as well, on the pasuk. We have your Tzror Amor. It's in Perek Tet, Pasuk, I think, Chavtet, in Tzror Amor. So he comes along and says a big Hadush. It's based on a Zohar HaKadosh. 10 makot. He's asking, why 10? Why not 9? Why not 11? Okay, we know 10 is a round number. And we also know that if there was 11, they would also ask why 11. So no matter what number it would have been, we're going to ask why. Okay, but now that it's 10, we're going to ask, why 10? Oh, Esa Sefirot. Okay, now if we wanted to go that derech, 10 Sefirot, but that we have to dim the lights, and we have to light candles, and you know, that's not for all the people to understand. We want to say something that's suitable for all audiences. There's something else he says that's also measured in 10, and that's what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Ba'asaram ma'amarot hazak bevra olam. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, for whatever reason he decided, he created it first of all in speech, b'ma'amarot. For example, Vayomer Elohim, and God said, let there be light, yehi or. Now, it's created from a ma'amar. And if you look in the beginning of Bereshit, I guess you'll see 10 ma'amarot, and after the 10 ma'amarot, there you go. The world is there. Nobody is able to create with a ma'amar, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bidvar Adonai Shamayim Nasu, Uburuach Piv, Kosiva'am. I've told you this many times. A magician tries to act like God, but he's not God. So when the magician, he wants to make as if he's going to take the rabbit out of the hat. You know, he makes believe the rabbit is not there. So, Rabotai, I'm going to say a word, two words, and take, what does he say before he takes the rabbit? Abracadabra. Abracadabra is two Hebrew words. Ebra kedabera. Ebra, I will create kedabera according to my word. But we tell the magician, you're a faker. It's an optical illusion. Only God can be ebra kedabera. Only God can create according to the way he speaks. A magician does not. The rabbit was there from the beginning. It was just underneath the felt. He says, oh, here's the rabbit. Optical illusion. But he makes it anyway, he's God. Ebra kedabera. But Borei Olam created b'ma'asara ma'amarot. Says the Sror Amor that the 10 plagues in Egypt correspond the 10 ma'amarot, which is an amazing, amazing new revelation, which means, according to Sror Amor, you have an obligation to write the 10 ma'amarot on one column, and then the 10 plagues on another, and then you have to draw lines connecting which plague corresponds which one of the ma'amarot. He does a little, but the Maharal actually goes through one by one. But before I even get to the Maharal, which I have the Maharal here, which we're going to go through it tonight, I need to just give you the 10 ma'amarot. Because when I went back to count them, it only says Vayomer 9 times. So that's a problem in itself. So the Malbim, right in the beginning of Bereshit, answers and says, based on what the Gemara says, beautiful, Hazak, fantastic. Bereshit, the word Bereshit counts as a ma'amar. I don't understand why, but Bereshit is not a ma'amar, it's not a Vayomer. So, listen, there was short one. So they, Bereshit. Well, you can't just do that. What do you mean? Plus one? So Malbim explains. Gorgeous explanation of the Malbim. When I say Vayomer, I'm talking to somebody. Or to something. Let's say I had 4 pieces of wood on the floor. And I tell the wood, be a table. Okay, I'm talking to the wood. And then the wood all of a sudden forms a table. Which means only when there's matter in existence, can I say to the matter, form yourself into a item. But if there's no matter, there's nothing to talk to. So in the beginning of the creation, the first ma'amar cannot be called the ma'amar because there's nothing there. So therefore it's Bereshit. Subsequently, after the matter was created, now God's talking, Vayomer, Vayomer. Evantem? Evantem, that's the depth of why Bereshit is considered a ma'amar, but it cannot be a Vayomer. Because there's nothing to talk to. Evantem? Okay, beautiful. Now, let's go to the Maharal. I charted it here. The way we're going to have to do this is we're going to have to open up. Let's go slow. No need to guess. I'll tell you. That's a guess because it's not the right answer. But there's no need to guess. Says the Rav, one of the Ma'amarim of the creation is in Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavtet. Let's read it. It's one of the ten now. We're going to read all ten. Vayomer Elohim, Hine natati lachem et kol esef zorei hazer asher kopnei haaretz v'kol asher bo esef zorei hazer lachem yeh le'ochla. One of the Ma'amarim, Borei Olam says, I have provided you. The creation is world now. It's a world that will have food. You cannot create a world without food. Food is very important, as we know. Lachem yeh le'ochla. Says Maharal, in Egypt, what was the source of all their food? The Nile. The Nile irrigated the whole Egypt. Without the Nile River, there's no food. So therefore, he says, Makadam is keneged lachem yeh le'ochla. It's almost as if Borei Olam said, that which I created in Shishit Yemei Bereshit, I'm taking it away. The way Maharal's understanding of Surah Amor is, Borei Olam was dismantling the entire creation in front of the Egyptians. It's like you have a puzzle, now Borei Olam's taking one piece, or you have a suit. And the tailor comes along and says, I'm taking apart the whole suit now, one stitch at a time. Instead of the suit now, take the buttons off, take the lining out, take the shoulder, destroy the whole suit, there's nothing left. Borei Olam says, whatever I created in Shishit Yemei Bereshit, I'm undoing it. Now, of course, we have to answer why to undo it. But let's see how he undid it. He's unraveling the entire creation in front of Paro's eyes. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf. Vayomer Elohim, Yishritzu Hamayim, let Shiratzim come out of the Mayim. Shiratz Nefesh Chaya. That's a beautiful thing. You need things to come out of the water, fish. Sea life, etc. Borei Olam says that Ma'amar in Egypt went haywire. Instead of the yam producing proper sea life, what happened? A makah of frogs that came and destroyed. That means that Ma'amar that was such a beautiful, positive, productive Ma'amar in Egypt, it goes haywire. It short circuits. The Ma'amar becomes destructive. Borei Olam undoes it. Perek Aleph Pasuk Tet. What does Pasuk Tet say? Vayomer Elohim. God says to the water, Yikavu Amayim. Let all the water that's on the earth go into the oceans. V'tira'e hayabasha. Let the earth be seen. What's the third Makkah? Makat Kinim. What was Matkat Kinim? The entire earth turned into lice. Whereas Borei Olam in the creation said, let there be an earth, let the earth be revealed. In Mitzrayim, God said, that Yabasha that I made so beautifully, it's gone. Matkat Kinim. Evantim Sova. What are we up to? Oh, Arof. Here, Arof. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavdalet. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavdalet, what does it say? Vayomer Elohim. Vayomer. To Mama. Yotzea Ares Nefesh Hayal Lemina. Let the animals come out in the land. Behema, Remes, Hayat. Beautiful, you need animals. But Olam said, he pushed a button on that Ma'amar, it went topsy-turvy. Helter Skelter Arov. The beautiful Seder of Biryat HaOlam, Totzei HaAretz, Nefesh Haya, the undoing of this Ma'amar is Makat Arov. The unraveling of the creation. It's incredible. Deber, now Deber is a Hiddush. Deber is the animals dying. Now the Maharal, I'm quoting it, he says, Deber is keneged vayomer Elohim yehi me'orot birkiya hashamayim. Let the luminaries be in the heavens. What in the world is pestilence? So he says that it's Yadua, that because the constellations are spinning in a certain way, that causes the pestilence to come in the animals. Okay, I'm not a biologist, I'm not a zoologist. Go on Google, Shara Gilgulim, and see the connection between pestilence and the galaxies. I take the Maharal's word. Now let's go to Pasuk. Which Pasuk is it? I'll tell you right now. Which Pasuk is it? It's Keneged Yehi Me'orot Birkiya Hashamayim. What is it? Yud-Dalet. Yud-Dalet. Yes. Perik Aleph Yud-Dalet. Beautiful. Now we go to Makat Shechin is the next one. Now Shechin is unique out of all the plagues. What makes Shechin unique? It's the only plague that was on the person. All the other plagues are away from the person. Dam was not on the person, it was away. Even Barad, it landed on him, but it wasn't part of him. So therefore he says, that's Keneged Pasuk. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chavav. What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says, Vayomer Elohim Naaseh Adam. In the creation, God says, let there be Adam. What's Adam? Beautiful Adam. Now you look at the Egyptian Shechin. What happened to the Adam? Malfunctioned. The Adam became a monster. That Adam that God created on the creation, which is a beautiful specimen. Naaseh Adam. What happened in Mitzrayim? God undid the Adam. You looked at the Adam. What happened to the Adam? This is the Adam you created? He has all the boils all over his... The Egyptians couldn't show their faces. If we're Adam. Barad. That was the hailstones. What does the Pasuk say? Right in the beginning of the creation. The beginning of the creation, it says, Vayomer Elohim. Pasuk Vav. Yehi Rakia betoch hamayim. But Allah created the Rakia, the heavens. Vihim mavdil ben mayim lemayim. And now all of a sudden, the beautiful system. There's a heaven, there's water in the heaven, there's water on the earth. All of a sudden, says the Maharal, the heavens started to malfunction. All of a sudden, the fire is coming out, there were stones, rocks. It malfunctioned. Borei Olam undid the beautiful system of Yirakiya. What are we up to? Eshamayim, Barat. Aleph, Chaf Aleph. Let's see, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Am I right, Chaf Aleph? I'm not reading it correctly. Aleph. Oh, so it's over here. It's not Chavav. It is going to be Pasuk Chavchet. Chavtet. Vayomer Elohim. Hine natati lachem et kol esev zorei azera asher al pene kol haaretz ve'et kol haetz asher bo periaetz. The trees. That's Makat Arbeh. What did the locust eat? All the fruit, all the trees, it destroyed all the product. That beautiful creation that Hashem did in this ma'amar was undone by Makat Arbeh. Hoshech is easy. Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or. Borei Olam said, Yehi Or, shut the lights, there's no Or. Shut the light, blackout, Mafi Or. Those are the nine ma'amarot. The last ma'amar that we have is the first word, which is what? Bereshit. What does Bereshit mean? The first. Makat Bechorot. Firstborn. So therefore, all the ten ma'amarot are established keneged the ten makot. Now says Rabbi Abraham Saba, the Sroda Mor, why? He says, unbelievable. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say I come along with a beautiful suit. And I come along and I tell you, Rabotai, I'm a tailor. I made this suit with my own hands. Every stitch, every button, every design. Is it impossible? You're impossible. You didn't do it. There's no way you could do it. As you have to take my word, I did it. I said, we don't believe you. There's no way. So I said, listen, there's only one way I can prove it to you. I have to take apart the whole suit and recreate it in front of you. What are you doing? No. I take every button, lay it all out. Nice. Watch me. I'm going to put it all back together. Borei Olam needed to show the Jewish people that he's the creator of the world. So how's he going to show them that he's the creator of the world? He has to undo the whole world in front of them, piece by piece. He went through every ma'amad and undid it and re-put it back together again. So by the time they came out of Mitzrayim, they actually saw Ma'aseh Bereshit. They saw Ma'aseh Bereshit in front of them. They saw the undoing of the creation and the rebuilding of it. Because there were no witnesses at Ma'aseh Bereshit. That's why it answers the famous question. The famous question they ask is, Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Hotzeticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am God that took you out of Mitzrayim. Why didn't it say better? Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Barati Shemayim Va'aretz. Say better, I am God that created the heavens and the earth. The explanation is, Yitziat Mitzrayim is that. That's what it is. Which is, we weren't there at the creation of the heavens and the earth. But we're saying, Anochi Hashem Elohecha, Asher Hotzeticha. That's why in Kiddush on Friday night, what do we say? Zecher Ma'aseh Bereshit, Zecher Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's all the same thing. Ma'aseh Bereshit happened twice. It happens in the book of Bereshit, and then it happens again in the book of Shemot. That's why, remember last week, we said, Hazak Baruch, what do they call the book of Shemot? Sefer Sheni. And you remember I told you, what a humdrum name, but Sefer Sheni. The explanation is, because it's the second creation. The world was created twice, but I've created it in the book of Bereshit. Sefer Sheni is again the creation. Now, if that's the case, I'd like to say one more hadush in honor of our members that are here tonight. You believe what's going on here? Based on this, I saw one of the Mefarshim ask a very strong question. The 10 Makot are written back to back to back to back. It's a beautiful, just read it straight. Except, right before Makat Bechorot, there's a pause in the action, and Borei Olam interrupts the Makot with telling Moshe, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, and the whole parasha about HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Korban Pesach, the whole Torah, and then what? Makat Bechorot. And I saw the Mefarshim ask, why the pause? Why interrupt? So it's 9 interruption. And then Makat Bechorot. Abotai, let's go back to the beginning. Makat Bechorot is connected, which one of the Ma'amarim? Bereshit. What does Rashi say right in the beginning of Bereshit? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo haya tzarich latchil et haTorah ela ma'chodesh hazeh lachem. Where was the Torah supposed to start? Torah's not a history book. Torah's a law book. Torah should have started from Ma'aseh Lachem. So when the Torah's recreating the world in Ma'aseh Mitzrayim, it puts a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem before Makat Bechorot, because Makat Bechorot is Bereshit. So in the actual recreation of the world, understand? In the recreation of the world, the Chodesh Hazeh Lachem actually comes first, before Bereshit, before Makat Bechorot. And now you understand the mahloket. Was the world created in Tishri or Nisan? It was created in Tishri, it was created in Nisan. It's created in both. It's created in Bereshit and Nisan, which means in Mitzrayim it's connected in Nisan. Therefore you see, Rabotai, there's a lot of depth that takes place over in the Makot. It's not just to study what the Makot were, but you have to try to find the symmetry. These are the wondrous Niflaot. These are Niflaot within the Niflaot. These are the wonders that are within the wonders. The good news is that they tell us that when God told Avraham Abinu about the Makot, he said, don't worry, Dan Anochi, I'm going to judge the Egyptians. He said two words, And in these two words, that Anochi said of Sa'adiyah Gaon, look what he did. He wreaked havoc on Egypt. Says of Sa'adiyah Gaon, La'atid Lavo, we have pages and pages of prophecies that say what God's going to do to our enemies. If on Dan Anochi, on two words, look what happened, we can be very, very confident and comforted that there's going to be many, many more miracles. Much more than happened in Mitzrayim. It's going to be a drop in the bucket. As the Pasuk says, Ki meset techa me'eretz Mitzrayim, ar'enu niflaot, amen, amen. Rabbi Hananiah, Merkashah, Omer, Rasa, Baruch Hu, Yisrael, Lefichach, Hirva, Laem, Traus,